I want to talk to you tonight about a desire. For us to have a desire that is kindled toward the Lord. I was thinking of a verse this morning. Got Psalms 51 and 12. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And I like to look at that verse not as, okay, I gave it all up, I quit, now I would like to come back and start over again. But just in dealing with the subject that we're looking at tonight, is there to be able to restore the joy, having a strong desire, drawing real close to the Lord, having a fervency in this time that we're living in, because we have heard all our lives about five foolish and five wise virgins and the end coming and taking them out. And, you know, we can think of different ways that it could be. But I want to tell you, for the time that we're living in, I'm feeling the pressure of what causes one to move from the wise category to the foolish. Yes. It's this time of lethargy. Just not really having a fervency, not really realizing or feeling like, you know, tomorrow could be my end. I could be going out of here and I want to make sure everything is ready. I want to keep it all ready. So I'm thinking about tonight, desire. A longing for. And as we look at some scriptures, I don't want this to just be a message, but I want it to be a time of us sharing together. If you have a scripture that goes out of just past ordinary, but moves into a place of desire, of fervency, I'd like for you to share that one. I'd like to start with one tonight in Psalms 42 and 1. This moves out of just ordinary, satisfied with where I am. But this one says in 42 and 1 of Psalms, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And I thought about times when I have been working outside and worked so much to where when I'm called in for supper time, I'm longing more for a drink of water than I am to sit down and eat. Give me something to drink. I am so thirsty. This one, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And I was thinking of that. Where's my desire today? The world is drawing, and I have no desire to go after it. But I was thinking, where is my desire today? I was singing that song, number 151, More Like Christ. If we could look at that first verse, more like Christ, my heart is praying. More like Christ from day to day. That's a desire. Song number 151. More like Christ, my heart is praying. More like Christ from day to day. All his graces rich displaying. I thought about what Sister Wright was saying in the prayer request time. Want to be able to have his graces displaying, be able to sense around me a need and be able to help. All his grace is rich displaying while I tread my pilgrim way. More like Christ every day. More like Christ, my heart doth say. Yes, more like Christ. More like Christ every passing day. And then there's another one where desire comes in. Song number 300. And in verse number 3. It says, I am drinking at the fountain. We're talking about desire. I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. For I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. For I have found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. Drinking at the fountain. That one says, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Where we move from duty to privilege. And I was thinking about that. The next verse says, the second verse says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. This is desire now. When shall I come and appear before God? Almost like he's saying, when will I get the opportunity again to be able to come and appear before God? Duty says, as we read in Hebrews 10 and 25, that it not be the forsaking assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And as we hear that verse, we can say, okay, on Sunday morning, I just need to tell myself, okay, get up now and go on to service because that's what you need to do. But this one has desire attached to it. In Psalms 42:2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There is another verse that moves from duty to privilege. If somebody would get Psalms 122:1. And then if somebody would get Proverbs 10:24. Or maybe what I can do is just repeat it when.
Okay. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Okay, Psalms 122:1. This is no longer duty. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And I've told this before, but I remember being at home with mom and dad at times, and we just understood when it comes time for service, they're going to be in service. It's going to be natural. And I remember longing for the day when there's a storm coming in on Sunday afternoon and thinking, you know what, if that hits just right, we might get to stay home this evening. Well, that was just a childhood ambition, but my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When will I get to come and appear before him again? I was glad when they said unto me, this is desire now. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Okay, Proverbs 10:24.
The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted.
Okay, the fear of the wicked shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. This is one of those promises that's in the Bible. So I was thinking about that. What is the desire of the righteous? What will a righteous person be desiring for? What's something he would be looking for? And I was thinking of the verse in John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So it made me ask myself the question, what does an abiding person ask for?
Yes.
What is his desire? Because it says his desire will be granted. Ask what you will. What he'll be asking for is that song number 151. I want to be more like Christ. And it's guaranteed with that desire, it'll be granted. What about Psalms 27:3-4. If somebody get that, and also Matthew 5:6. Okay, Psalms 27:3-4.
Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
Okay, there's desire. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. This is a desire that I have. Okay, and then, so what's the chance that I'll be able to get my desire granted? What about the verse in Matthew 5:6?
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
I was thinking about that, a warranty given by God himself. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. If I've got that desire, it'll be filled. A guarantee to that one that's hungering and thirsting. And I thought about it in the time that we're living in. There's a lot of companies will give a warranty, and they'll give you maybe a lifetime warranty. You know what? That warranty is only as good as the company is, because a lot of times by the time it goes bad, you go back and say, I wonder where that company is now. I don't see them at the place where I bought it. And you find out they've gone out of business. But God himself is saying, Christ is saying, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, have a desire for me. Yes. You have that desire will be granted. We find those scriptures that ask what you will, ye abide in me and I abide in you. Ask what you will and it'll be done for you. That desire to draw closer to the Lord is guaranteed to be filled. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'd like to go to another verse in Revelations 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yes. If any man hear my voice and open the door, here's another guarantee. I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. But it's, you know, God had the power, Christ had the power to say, I'm coming in no matter what. But he didn't do that. He allowed us to have a will, to be able to make a choice of whether we open the door or not. But with desire, I can let him in because he wants to come in. Yeah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. So I was thinking about availability. Does he say, well, I'll pass by at a certain time each year? I was thinking of the man at the pool of Bethesda, waiting for the time when the water would be troubled to be able to be the first to get in and he could be healed. But it didn't happen very often. And it says by the time it would happen and he would try to get there, someone else would get there ahead of him. But this isn't what we're faced with today. Christ says, tells us, I'm standing at your door knocking. If you'll just hear my voice, open the door. I'll come into him. I'll sup with him and he with me. There's another promise that he gives us in Revelations, right at the very last of Revelations 22 and 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There is a verse, Jeremiah 17 and 7, if someone would get that verse. That's 17 and 7 of Jeremiah.
Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is.
Okay, and on down to the next verse.
For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Yes.
Shall not be careful in the year of drought. You know, we've had enough rain in the last month, we've about forgotten about that. But I remember it wasn't that many years ago, not maybe just in the last couple years, that it would get dry enough in the summertime till they would start in the town saying, we've got to ration water. And so it doesn't matter how dry it gets, you can't water your yard until a certain day. Even numbers can water on a certain day. Odd number houses can water on another certain day. But don't water any other time or we'll give you a ticket for it. Water rationing. This one says, this man, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, spreadeth out her roots by the river. When a lot of trouble is happening all around him, when things are drying up all around him, he's tapped into a source where he keeps being fed. Shall not see when the heat cometh, her leaf shall be green. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I want to be able to have that in my life. Want to be able to have that desire, because it's going to take us pressing past what's happening today of the devil realizing I'm going to apply pressure here to just settle in with what I've got and don't put out that extra effort that we need to have. Brother Marty has been, throughout his meeting, he was warning us about just settling down with what I have, but to reach out for more. I was thinking about over in Amos. You remember in the 8th chapter of Amos, it says, I'm going to send a famine in the land. It's not going to be a famine of bread or of water. Amen. We have plenty of that. It says it's going to be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Yes. And I thought, well, maybe it's not even so much that there will not be a minister that will preach it, but it can be a famine of whether I put forth the effort to come out to hear it, to be able to realize, you know what, this is the most important thing in my life. I don't do it because mom and dad say you need to be in church. I remember Brother Marty with little children saying on Sunday night, the little children saying, Dad, do we have to go tonight? He said, no, we don't have to go. We get to go. A difference of when there's desire attached to it. So there were the Lord saying, there's coming a famine in the land. There'll still be plenty of food. There'll still be plenty of water. But it'd be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Yes. That same God that gives us the invitation to drink freely tells us there can be a famine coming to those that don't have the desire that they should have. If any man will open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him, a promise that he has given us. And we can look at the negative around us. We could look and find people that don't have the desire that they should. But what I'd like to look at tonight is, I thought of the verse in Psalms 37 and 37. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. Setting somebody that I see has that desire, has that intensity to live for the Lord in the time that we're living in. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Okay, do you have a scripture that tells about something more than just ordinary in desire? What about in Psalms 1 and 1? This is a person that didn't settle for ordinary. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, yes, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We each one have choices in life to make. He made choices. As each one of these things came up, he chose not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He chose not to stand where sinners are standing. He chose not to sit in the seat of the scornful. And he didn't just stop with that. He replaced it with something else. He had desire. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We were hearing this morning in the Sunday school class about 119th Psalm, talking so much about the law of the Lord. And here he's saying his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Yes.
So where we were hearing about there's coming a famine in the land of hearing the words of the Lord, doesn't seem like it's affecting this man any. Yes. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And it produced something in him. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Determination. This isn't just the man that says, I tell you what, I'd like to try salvation. I've heard that it works for people. I believe I'll try it out for a little bit. Instead, it was something that was his delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Can you think of another?
There's an example in 2 Corinthians 7 chapter about people that had vehement desire.
Okay. Go ahead and read that verse. 2 Corinthians
7 and 11.
2 Corinthians 7 and 11.
For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you.
Yes.
Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal! Yea, what revenge! In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter.
And that all started with a person that sorrowed after a godly sort. When he did that, he had within him a vehement desire, a clearing of himself. Okay, does someone have another?
I think in the Sunday school this morning I may have mentioned this scripture in 119 Psalm 92, and it says, "Unless thy law had been my delights, then I should have perished in mine affliction." Mm-hmm. The Septuagint there says, "Were it not that thy law is my meditation, then I should have perished in mine affliction." So it kind of goes along with that first chapter of Psalms about in his law doth he meditate day and night. But I had another one that's, it was 63rd chapter of Psalms. And it says, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is."
Yes.
That's good.
And I feel like that's where we are today. There's pressure around us. And yet the promise is still there. Let everybody that thirsts, let him come and drink of the water freely. Okay?
I have a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 25 and 25, it says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." And the other thought that I had was, if we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desire of our heart. So it goes with our desire is also in our delighting in him.
"Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart." Well, we find that by walking close to the Lord, then what's our desire? It's to be more like Christ.
Amen.
And he guarantees us that he will fill that desire. Okay, does anyone else have another?
I found one in Isaiah.
Okay. 6.
Verses 8 and 9. "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness."
Okay. That's a good one there. "With my soul have I desired thee in the night." This isn't just I'm settling down with the way things are and hoping it'll be good enough. "With my soul, I'm desiring thee in the night. With my spirit within me, will I seek thee early."
And what chapter was that?
26.
Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, and she read the 8th and the 9th verse. Okay, that's a good one. "O Lord, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." Okay, does anyone have another?
I have a verse about seeking, Deuteronomy 4:29. "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul."
When you seek him, you'll find him when you seek him with all of your heart and all of your soul. And not is there, are there any examples about the possibility of being turned back and said, "No way, I won't be turned back"? I was thinking of Elijah and Elisha. It's time now. Elijah knows he's going to die. Some of the prophets knew, those around knew, because they went to some of the places where there's others there, and they said, "Do you tell an Elisha, do you realize that Elijah is going to be taken today?" And as they would go to each of those places, this is in 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, Elijah would tell him, "Hey, just stay here. I'm going on to another place." And he said, Elisha would tell him, "No, I'm not staying. I'm going with you." And there was maybe about four places there where Elijah would tell him, just stay here. I'm going on to another place. And then Elijah finally asked him, said, what is it that you're wanting from me? And he said, I would like to have a double portion of your spirit. Yes. And you remember what he told him? He said, if you see me when I go up, when I leave out of here, if you see me, well, you know, Elisha, he probably doubled up his effort to stay right on him then. I'm not going to leave him. I'm going to focus on him with my full attention because I've got something that I desire to be able to have from him. Want a double portion of his spirit. And he saw him when he went up. You remember when he caught the mantle and he went back to the river there and was able to do the same thing that Elijah had done because it was the same God that had served with Elijah was now with Elisha. And it was because at any one of those places he could say, well, I'll tell you what, you told me to stay. I'm going to stay. You remember where in Deuteronomy God told the children of Israel, I humbled you and I proved you to see what was in your heart. I brought some difficulties your way because I wanted to see how you would respond to them. Would you have enough desire to keep on moving on for me? Okay, does someone have another? Did it take some desire for Job to continue on?
Yes.
When he had the difficulties coming to him that he did? He came down to the place where he said, I looked on the left hand, the right hand, the places that I used to be able to find you, and it doesn't seem that you're there anymore.
Yeah.
I've come down to the place where he knoweth the way that I take. So I'm going to continue on living the way that I know he was pleased with back then. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. There's a part for God to do. There's a part for us to do. He knoweth the way that I take. I won't give up. I'm going to keep on after God. Does anyone else have another? Joshua had desire. When he told the people around him, if you want to serve the gods that are on this side, you can do that.
Yes.
But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I've got some desire. I've got some fervency about me. It doesn't matter if I have to go it alone. And we're going to need that in the day and time that we're living in because the pressure's being applied to us. Maybe because the days are short, but for each one of us to have a fervency of walking with the Lord, walking close to the Lord. To me, this isn't about, well, I got a desire either tomorrow I'm going to just give it up and go out in the world. No, it's about the intensity that I have of drawing real close to the Lord in this time that we're living in. Because to me, the 10 virgins, every one of them planned to be ready. And it really doesn't say that five of them just gave it up and went out into sin. It was just that five of them lost that fervency that they needed to be able to be prepared for the time when he came.
Yes.
There was another one that I was thinking about in Ezekiel 47. And it talks about in the third verse, when the man that had the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. He measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. You know, at any one of these places, we could say, well, hey, there's water. I believe I'll stay right here. I was thinking about that one. He measured 1,000 and he brought me, and it was water to the ankles. Now, there's not a whole lot you can do in water to the ankles except walking around and stirring up the mud. But that wasn't where he wanted him to stay. Measured 1,000 and it to the ankles, to the knees. Measured 1,000 and he brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And he measured this fifth verse. He measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over. The waters were risen. They were waters to swim in.
Yes.
A river that could not be passed over. What is available to us today is a river that will supply every need that we have. And if I'm not careful, I'm willing to be satisfied with a place where it's water to my ankles. And he's wanting to measure out and take me farther And the possibility is there, but I got to have the desire. I've got to go after it. Because I think about the man in Psalms 1. He didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Those things that he made choices against, so it said that it was all around him. It gave indication that all around him were those choices. But he gave those up because his desire was, I'm going to walk close to the Lord. And I want to have that for myself today. I don't want to settle with, okay, I'm planning to go to church 3 times a week. I won't do wrong, but I want to draw closer to the Lord. Because I believe the pressure's on for us. The devil's intensifying the pressure, not so much to go back out in the world, but just to be satisfied with where I am. When there's a lot more water, a lot more places for me to gain in my own life. Does anyone have another before we close?
And they had to hold the weapons in one hand and build with the other. There wasn't any half-hearted work about that.
Okay, there was intensity there, fervency. When it came to the point where those that were opposing them just came to cause them to be distracted, he says, I tell you what, it says they'd keep their clothes. They wouldn't go to bed at night and relax. They would be ready at all times. Said, you have your weapon and you work. Not willing for it to stop, he had a goal in mind that he wanted to be able to complete. I'm thinking of a song, and I think it's in our blue book, Higher Ground. Not willing to settle with where I am. I want to be able to have more of the Lord in my life, and I believe he's got it for us. I don't believe as time draws nearer to the end that we have to settle for less. But I believe that the Lord wants us to press, have a press about us, that I'm going to get everything that the Lord has for me. Because one thing is, it's not just about me making it, but for me to have enough on hand that I can feed someone else. Lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Having something that I can be a help to somebody else that may be not having the water to drink that they need, but to be able to have it to supply, not just that I make it, but that others be able to make it. Is that song in the blue book? Number 62. Let's sing that song. I've got a desire for higher ground.